Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 12th day of July, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call, and let's start off our look at what do you know what is going on around the nation and the world today with this story out of what once called itself the Church of England, whatever that means today. They no longer, however, can tell a man from a woman, it seems, despite being, as the Sputnik report put it, the only major religion on the planet whose supreme governor, Queen Elizabeth II, is a woman. Asked by a lay member of the armed forces, what is the Church of England's definition of a woman? The church's bishop in Europe, the Right Reverend Robert Innes, replied thusly, quote, "There is no official definition, which reflects the fact that until fairly recently, definitions of this kind were thought to be, and this is at least correct, self-evident, as reflected in the marriage liturgy," replied the Right Rev, who should have quit while he was ahead, adding that your church, though, has, quote, "begun to explore the complexities associated with gender identity," unquote. And some of us would suggest maybe the church should try exploring scripture. And let's follow that up with this, courtesy of the Substack from Igor Chudov, who says that a couple of weeks ago he wrote an article based on the shocking news that the birth rate in Taiwan, May of this year, 2022, fell by 23.34% compared to May a year ago, which is a continuation of a recent series that he's been writing about a massive 13% decline of births in Germany. And such a decline in Germany is a 9-sigma event, meaning it's so unlikely to occur by chance that it would naturally happen about as rarely as a major asteroid striking Earth. But when it comes to statistics, the change in Taiwan is an unthinkable 26-sigma event of enormous magnitude. He was hoping this was some kind of a data fluke or error, but it's not, because the June data has just been released, and as Igor puts it, he's very upset, because Taiwan's birth rate, June 2022, is now down by 27.2%, far worse than even the previous month's jaw-dropping decline. And basically, guess what? It shows a trend. And writes Fox Day, observing that trend, "It's no accident so many pregnant women are miscarrying. The number of stillbirths have increased. The number of infants dying soon after birth is also on the rise. And while the connection of declining human fertility to the poison poke, Zyklon B injection, as your host calls it, is still, as Vox Day puts it, correlative rather than definitely causal, the correlation is now strong enough that it had probably better be reasonably assumed to be causal, at least until we begin to see any evidence to the contrary." There's a message here, folks. While we're talking about interesting correlations, here's another one, this time via strangesounds.org, which says, "Are we supposed to think it's just another coincidence that the World Economic Forum, and you know the names of some of the servants of Satan running that thing, Cyber Polygon 2022 meeting took place on July 8th, 2022, over this last weekend, and simultaneously, it just so happened that Canada was experiencing its worst internet outage in decades, causing major phone services to crash, 9/11 credit card and debit machines to be down for quite a few hours. And coincidentally, that major crash occurred on the very same day that the fourth edition of Klaus Schwab's Cyber Polygon was in progress, while participating companies actually underwent a targeted attack on their hybrid cloud infrastructure. What are the odds? And coincidentally, this year's primary theme of that conference was digital resilience in the age of the cloud." And continues the piece, "Don't forget, back in March of this year, the World Economic Forum removed Cyber Polygon from its webpage, perhaps preparing people for the upcoming cyber war." And that, too, is obviously just another coincidence. He follows up with a number of quotes from people that were at the conference. I think this one is kind of representative. Alexander Klimberg, head of the Center for Cybersecurity at WEF, notes that the Cyber Polygon cybersecurity training event helps, and maybe I guess outages do too, raise awareness of cyber attacks across organizations, across borders, and across the public and private sectors. And ironically, as it turns out, the event was organized by two Russian companies, UNT ZWEF. From there on to economics, and I'll introduce this with a couple of, things that you might not have heard of too much from the Waystream media, particularly the financial press. The BRICS nations, you know, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, but they're adding more literally by the week, has announced the new world reserve currency. Actually, this has been announced and been worked on for quite some time now. As says Greg Reese for Band.video, America continues to commit economic suicide. So far, the globalist agenda seems to be right on schedule, he says, referring to the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum in this case and their plans to lead the world into a different form of globalism. Or is it the same form, just ostensibly anyway, reporting to different criminal mob bosses? But sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? After all, they do seem to all be using the same techniques, like the plandemic and Zyklon B injection, not to mention a global famine and energy collapse, to get there.
China has recently invited Indonesia, Malaysia, Iran, Egypt, and several other countries to join BRICS, a growing world alliance led by Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. While some are reporting that BRICS is somehow challenging the globalists, this is demonstrably false. The original concept for BRICS was proposed by the chief economist for Goldman Sachs. BRICS's new development bank is staffed by known players of the IMF and World Bank, and BRICS has repeatedly affirmed their commitment to the United Nations Agenda 2030.
Greg Reese goes on to give a number of other examples and then hits the main point, which is that BRICS may in fact be globalist to the core, but they're certainly in opposition to any American dominance of the new world global order.
BRICS is clearly not anti-globalist. Even the CCP's state-run media explains how BRICS now leads the globalization mission. But they are all turning against the United States and its allies. Xi Jinping accused the U.S. of weaponizing the financial system, with their sanctions against Russia, which has caused the average person to suffer worldwide. And Vladimir Putin suggested that BRICS could provide a new world reserve currency. At the recent St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, Putin blamed the West for disrupting the international economy and announced that NATO's unipolar world order is over.
And no doubt about it, we've talked about this aspect on this show for a long time at this point, the intent is to destroy the United States from within and from without, because obviously the puppet is having his strings pulled by somebody. And while it may be satanic, it sure as hell isn't even remotely American. And as virtually all the news stories have been making clear for quite a while now, that's not even remotely hidden anymore. Still, though, it turns out that the road to global tyranny is a rocky one, as other stories, even from China, are pointing out. First from Hal Turner's radio show, who writes about massive bank runs over there, now turning violent, saying China's on the verge of financial collapse. Chinese banks stopped depositors from withdrawing money back in April, and they've not enabled withdrawals since. And meanwhile, there are pictures online of crowds of thousands storming banks now, demanding money and using violence. The rumored reason the Chinese banks cannot allow withdrawals is that the CCP, or the Communist Chinese Party, seems to have stolen the bank bailout funds and simply can't make the banks solvent. And he includes a video of one bank run, and it's kind of massive, taking place at the Jingzhou branch of China's central bank. And the stories on the downward spiral continue as we enter the first part of this week. And of course, don't think it can't happen here, folks. After all, somebody, probably several somebodies, is pulling the Biden Führer's puppet strings. And whether the FBI and the Waystream Press want you to know the truth or not, Hunter and his hookers are telling at least part of that story. From there, we'll go straight to a piece from King World News on the same subject. They begin by quoting Kyle Bass, who notes that, yep, bank runs are happening all over China, and it's important to note that the Chinese banking system represents 350% of Chinese on balance sheet, anyway, GDP, while in the U.S., and what was once this system, it's only 100%. So one of the largest leading categories of Chinese banks is real estate, and Chinese property developers, as you may have heard, are filing bankruptcies at a record pace. Perhaps you recall the name Evergrande. Officially, it kind of defaulted at the end of last year, but at the end of May this year, Forbes asked, is Evergrande actually China's version of the Lehman Brothers moment? Moody's has downgraded 91 Chinese property developers this year alone, after only 54 of them over the entire past decade before this year. So given what passes for transparency and honest financial reporting in China, and now the communist Chinese version of America with a K, I have to ask it this way. If the dominoes all started to fall over, but the mainstream press decided to keep lying about it, would there be sound, much less video? This next item could fit into several categories. You might call it a World War III update, or maybe a United States self-destruction update on the military front. They're pretty much the same thing anymore. Comes from J.D. Hayes in Natural News, and it says Russia has already begun to destroy the advanced U.S. weaponry that's not being saved for use here at home. No, that would be too obvious. Instead, it's being sent to Ukraine, where, as promised, Russia is pretty much destroying it as it arrives. The U.S. continues to drain its stockpile of weapons, he begins, many of them advanced long-range missile and artillery systems by supplying them to Ukraine, where almost as fast as many of them arrive, they're being destroyed by Russian forces. Last week, Russia's defense ministry claimed that its forces had managed to locate and destroy two high-mobility artillery rocket systems, or HIMARS, that were only recently supplied to Ukraine, the loss of which can't be sustained and, by the way, does deprive the United States of the ability to use them were they ever necessary, say, for example, in response to a Russian or Chinese or pick an enemy at the southern border invasion. Do you ever get the feeling, folks, that just maybe there's another traitorous plan at work here? The claim is the systems are being used to expand Ukraine's long-range firing capabilities to match that of Russia. Yeah, sure. But in keeping with its earlier pledge, Moscow has announced its forces would target any weapon system supplied by foreign nations, especially the United States, it would seem, and ultimately hold them responsible. And while there's been no independent confirmation that Russian troops took out the two systems, to be honest, writes J.D. Hayes, it's not like the Ukrainians are going to confirm that the systems were destroyed, especially if it was true. Because Kiev, among other things, doesn't want to lose its weapons gravy train being supplied by U.S. taxpayers. Reuters is also noting that Russian forces have destroyed two ammunition depots storing rockets for that same HIMARS system near the front line in a village south of Kramatorsk in Ukraine's Donetsk region, the main focus for Russian troops following the capture of Luhansk over the weekend. And all of this, if true, points to the fact that what the HIMARS destruction does is move the U.S. and Russia that much closer to direct conflict, since Russian troops appear to be specifically looking for weapons supplied by a foreign nation, largely NATO, and related countries, which would especially include long-range rocket and artillery systems for the obvious reason. One more setup story today before we get to some of the really interesting conspiracy theory stuff, which, of course, as you know, will almost certainly real soon turn out to be conspiracy fact, if it's not already. This comes from Germany, courtesy of Paul Joseph Watson in Summit News, where he says a left-wing German interior minister wants to confiscate guns owned by what else? Members of the so-called right-wing AfD party. Interior Ministry of the German state of Thuringia. Georg Meyer wants to withdraw gun licenses, and you have to have a license, of course, in a state like once fascist Germany to keep and bear arms, from the Alternative for Germany members, a political party that holds 81 seats in the German Bundestag or parliament and 9 seats in the European parliament. Meyer belongs to the Social Democrat Party, and guess how far left they lean, and has tasked his employees with establishing a working group on, does this sound kind of Biden-y stuff familiar? Weapons and extremists. They, too, want to target anybody who knows better. They call them right-wing extremists there, I guess in German, and that list includes AfD members and in total about 30,000 people who would have to deal with, quote, appropriate revocation procedures initiated against them under the new plan, which would have legally owned guns confiscated by the state, again confirming what Adolf Hitler knew. The point of a gun registration list is precisely this. Without further ado, let's turn to today's conspiracy theories being revealed as fact department. This one comes from Stefan Stanford at the All News Pipeline, and also a story from the Epoch Times published earlier in July entitled Doomsday Document Predicted Food Shortages 2 years ago. All of which basically documents that the globalists had pre-knowledge and arguably pre-planning of the current food catastrophe because, well, yeah, they wanted it to happen. And some of us, by the way, have been talking about it for at least that long, too, because we knew it was in the plan. Not only are the economics obvious, if you understand just a little bit about biblical or Austrian economics, so was the telegraphed intent. This has to do with a report put out in July of 2020 by the Rockefeller Foundation entitled Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System. Looks like they're transforming it away, doesn't it? And he provides the link for those that want to go to the Rockefeller Foundation while you still can and verify the authenticity of the document. Can you believe, folks, we've been lied to once again? All of which demonstrates how they plan to wipe out the meat industry in favor of fake foods over 2 years ago. And it seems that their plans hit the nail on the head. And what we're now witnessing across America, and indeed the whole planet, can only demonstrate that this has been a long pre-planned globalist operation. As the Epoch Times story reports, what we've been told about the food shortages we're now witnessing, that they're the result of climate change and Russia having invaded Ukraine. Amazing, isn't it, that the Rockefeller Foundation had already predicted this and was calling to revamp the food system as a whole to address it, long before it actually panned out. And here's another one of those wonderful warnings, oh so prescient. The COVID pandemic, they thought, would surely cause, quote, a hunger and malnutrition crisis in the U.S., unlike any this country has seen in generations. And so they called then for the U.S. food system to be, say it with me, folks, reset. I can't help but hearken back to how Rahm Emanuel of the Obama regime, i.e. Biden 1.0, famously put it, never let a perfectly good crisis go to waste. And given that Reset the Table was published just 1 month after, what else, the WEF officially announced their plans for the global reset, many of the contributors for the foundation's paper are also WEF members. Who could have thought it? Well, says Stanford, it's easy to see what's going on here if one just pays a little bit of attention. And he goes on to recite a whole bunch of other things you've probably heard about how the document promotes the idea. And does this sound familiar? Yeah, we've been hearing this for a while. Insects should be recognized as a healthy, sustainable protein alternative that can save the environment and solve world hunger, especially since you're not going to be allowed to have meat, except maybe for some of Bill Gates' fake bioengineered Frankenplasm. And here he turns to the Epoch Times story, which says it this way. Seems nothing escapes the prophetic minds of these self-proclaimed designers of the future. They have accurately foreseen natural disasters and foretell coincidental acts of God, well, at least the one they worship, and they know everything before it happens. Amazing how that works. Perhaps they truly are prophets, or perhaps they're just describing the inevitable outcomes of their own actions and the things that they're oh so anxious to bring about. Mind you, considers the Epoch Times, at the time COVID was declared a pandemic, on March 11th of 2020. So by the time this Rockefeller report was published, the pandemic had only existed for 4 months or so. And while certain high-risk groups did experience food insecurity, such as children whose primary meal is at a school lunch, widespread food shortages in terms of empty shelves, the kinds of thing we're seeing today, were not so widely prevalent or particularly severe yet in the United States. And of course, this was early after the Biden regime confiscated the American election, so the intended destruction hadn't yet gone into full high gear. No, pay no attention to that stuff that they've been doing to bring about the famine that's on the table. From destroying farms, supply chains, infrastructure, diesel fuel, fertilizer, and pretty much you name it, right down to somebody at least, it appears, beginning to burn a whole string of food processing plants all over the place. And let's not forget Russia too. But back in July 2020, here it is again, the Rockefeller Foundation had already predicted it and was, of course, calling to revamp the food system as it was once known. Maybe because, well, we needed to be exactly where we are now, today. As you're no doubt aware, and the story reminds us, Americans all across the nation are paying a whole lot more for food with the Consumer Price Index, even with the, lies that are being told about it by the Bureaus of Lying Statistics under the Biden regime, has risen almost 12% in the last year alone. Grocery prices, gasoline prices, and a whole lot of things Americans actually need to survive, as I'm sure you're aware, have gone up a whole lot more than that. Still, though, the U.S. Bureau of Lying Statistics admits that this is the largest 12-month increase since the period ending April 1979. And yeah, folks, any honest statistical data would probably say it's a lot worse than that. But remember, we're really just getting rolling. But here at least is what a Yahoo story from July 8th did admit. Milk is up an average of almost 30%. Eggs have practically doubled. They're up almost 96%. Mass poultry executions are no doubt playing a big role in that. White rice up 26%, beans up almost 15%, ground beef is up almost 23% since the beginning of the year, chicken's up 41%. I notice they don't even mention steak. Don't even think about it. Coffee is up over 40%, sugar's up, bread's up, and you get the picture. What you're hopefully doing is preparing. Finally, we need to go to a story today that I touch on frequently but haven't actually gotten into some detail on in quite a while. This comes from Gold Switzerland and Matthew Pippenberg about the rigged paper gold markets, paper silver markets, COMEX, CRIMEX, crooked casinos, you name it. It's entitled Paper Gold Price Manipulation Rigged to Fail. And the current and open fraud, he begins, regarding the paper gold price in the COMEX market is now just as plain to see as the open desperation in the global financial system, which is unraveling in real time all around us. As risk assets tumble foreseeably into bear territory before a headwind of deliberately rising rates, precious metals have seen headline-making falls. Who could have thought it? Answer, if you've been paying attention, you did as well. And he goes on to explain why. First, the standard answer, tracking the paper gold price, and in prior reports we've noticed that precious metals typically behave sympathetically when markets tank. Thereafter, gold surges northward. We saw this pattern in October 2008, March of 2020. And furthermore, when a hawkish Fed pursues a temporary yet face-saving policy of rate hikes to infinity, or at least so they say, and quantitative tightening, yeah, sure, this makes the U.S. dollar look relatively stronger, like a better house in a bad neighborhood. Or as he puts it, the strongest horse in the global currency glue factory. And the relative rise in the U.S. dollar, of course, results in a headwind to gold. But let's get to the real heart of the matter, continues Pippenberg. Namely, legalized paper gold price manipulation, i.e. fraud, in the COMEX, a topic we've addressed more than once, and he provides a whole lot of links. Your host, too, has talked about this, folks, for probably the better part of, well, more than 20 years at this point. And let's admit it, nothing embarrasses an otherwise discredited fiat currency, like the global reserve fake currency, the almighty dollar, like a rising gold price would. Rising gold prices, as he puts it, are kind of a middle finger to debased currencies whose declining purchasing power is a direct result of failed and drunken monetary policies, mouse-click trillions, in other words, of a central bank near you. Or as Ronan Manley has recently observed, gold to central banksters is like sun to vampires. And that, folks, is precisely why the big banksters, under the direction of the BIS, are deliberately, and if he says law school serves me correctly, as well as fraudulently manipulating the paper version of the gold price. So here goes. In the first quarter of 2022, we saw record high purchases of ETF gold. Now remember, that's just a variant of paper gold, physical gold, and central bank gold. Even so, Goldman Sachs head of commodity research was targeting $2,400 gold prices this year. But instead, the gold price has been falling, or maybe hammered, as gold demand has been rising. Yeah, what goes on here? Well, says Pippenberg, it reminds me of 2008 when mortgages were defaulting en masse, and yet the ABX index for subprime mortgages was rising. In short, complete and temporary manipulations were going on behind the curtains of a few wayward banks, including Morgan Stanley. And today's gold behavior, i.e. surreal manipulation, is no different and no less of an insult to the natural forces of supply and demand, which central banksters, of course, have been working to destroy for at least a decade and probably closer to a century at this point. But the jig will soon be up, he writes, for these masters of open fraud and Wall Street socialism. And here, writes Pippenberg, lest you think I'm just a gold bug apologist, let's go straight to the horse's mouth and examine the confessions of an open price manipulator in the precious metals markets. He refers to an article by Peter Hamburg, published by the British news site Reaction. A third-generation gold insider, Petro Pavlovsk Bank Hambros, and he made the open secret of paper gold manipulation abundantly clear and pretty much incontrovertible. Note, too, that his entire career is that of an heir to a banking dynasty all too familiar with the insider machinations of the London bullion markets and London Stock Exchange. The crime scene evidence, as he calls it, and I've talked about this many times before, folks, you can't see the charts, but if you did, it looks like a little teeny line on the far left side, and then a massive spike on the right side, year by year over time, and it has to do with notional amounts of precious metals derivatives. In other words, paper gold that's been sold in all kinds of forms that cannot be delivered because it does not exist on planet Earth. Likewise for silver, and as Hambro remarks, a long history of media and bank-supported misinformation has tried to keep a lid on desperate attempts by just a small number of BIS minion banks, like J.P. Morgan and Citi, to effectively prevent what's called free market price discovery of actual real-world precious metals prices. And what we're seeing now is it's blowing up. And Yahuwah bless you.